We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, Dynasty Command Center Nation? This is Curtis Patrick. Before we get into episode 44, I just want to remind you, if you haven't already grabbed your copy of the Dynasty Command Center Rookie Guide series, hit pause and go do it now. Go over to rotoviz.com, go to the top of the homepage and hit 2020 Rookie Guide. For $14.99, you get all three issues of our Rookie Guide series. Right now, the pre-combine content is out. That's what Travis and I are going to be talking about in this episode. And then about 7 to 10 days after the NFL Combine, you'll get issue 2. And 7 to 10 days after the NFL Draft, you're going to get issue 3. We're going to be with you all along the way as we get more and more information about these rookie prospects. And make sure that you are making informed decisions in your rookie drafts, in your dynasty leagues, in your Debbie leagues, or even if you just read the stuff for fun. It's great content. We have amazing artwork with our partner, Sean Morris. And I think this is the no-brainer of all no-brainers. RotoViz.com, Dynasty Command Center, Rookie Guide. Okay, so we are in episode 44. We're going to talk about tier 2 rookie wide receivers. We've already talked extensively about how high we are on Jalen Reagor. We've done it on this podcast. I've been doing a roadshow. Travis has done some appearances. I mean, everyone has heard us talk plenty about Jalen Reagor. So we're not going to include him in this episode because he's not a tier two guy for us. The other guys we're not going to talk about today are Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. So those three are off the table. Who is the next tier of guys that has that big ceiling, the big upside? They have the production profile, they have some of the breakout age and other data points that we look for, and guys that we should really be excited about in the middle to back half of round one in dynasty rookie drafts. I'm going to kick it over to the most trusted co-host in the industry, Travis May. Who are we talking about today, man?
The most, man. I'm gonna have to go down the list and see the other co-hosts. I don't know, that puts me in some solid company there, so thank you. But I would say, I mean, we're looking at, I mean, just looking at our rankings with the rookie guide. I mean, we've got Laviska Shenault, Colorado, T. Higgins, Clemson, Justin Jefferson, LSU, K.J. Hamler, Penn State, and Henry Ruggs of Alabama. That's going to be the players that we talk about today. And the one player that we are just kind of, I guess, strategically leaving out of the mix that has been a top Devy name and a top prospect according to NFL draft Twitter, I guess, and fantasy Twitter, Tyler Johnson of Minnesota. We're going to leave him out of this tier for now just because we're a little, you know, still a little bit concerned that he's going to miss the draft capital threshold of being inside day two. And even though he has that 99th percentile type production profile, as far as, you know, breakout age and dominator and adjusted yards per team pass attempt, everything you want to see from a production standpoint, he's just not going to be somebody that we dwell on too much today. But the other guys are going to be a lot of fun. They're very, very different players, different sizes, different wide receiver projected roles at the next level. So just can't wait to dive into that. But before we do, I did just have a special Devy fantasy football episode and kind of talking about National Signing Day, some of the top incoming freshmen and other top future NFL studs and playmakers. But what I realized is I didn't talk about any quarterbacks at all. And so it's time again for our BetOnline.ag Devy Player of the Week. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. DJ Uiagalelei is the Devy Player of the Week. And if you're not familiar with how to spell that, that's okay. But DJ Uiagalelei is our Devy Player of the Week. He was a stud in high school. If you actually watched the Netflix series QB1, you might have already seen him. He came in relief for Real Mitchell, who ended up going to Iowa State. He was this huge quarterback. I mean, he's a monster. He kind of looks like young Cam Newton, really. And it was kind of disappointing. If you're watching the show, you're like, the star of the show struggles, gets benched, and eventually injured. And you see this guy that they barely even feature, but he's just kind of tearing it up. And you're like, man, who is this guy? And then if you do any research, you realize, oh, wow, this kid's got like a more than 10-1 interception ratio throughout high school. Just add some rushing yards, you know, having a half dozen rushing touchdowns to boot with his ridiculous passing stats every single year in high school. And then you come to find later, I mean, unless you've been really following recruiting, you kind of find out, oh, wow, so this guy that was the backup for the star of the QB1 Netflix show ends up being, you know, the top-rated or second-rated quarterback in the 2020 recruiting class for all of college football. And really, by many people's standards, he could be the best player in the class. I mean, when you look at 24/7 Sports, their personal ratings, they did have him above, you know, even Bryce Young at Alabama, who's supposed to be the answer for them at quarterback post Tua Tagovailoa. But Uiagalelei is going to have to wait because he's going to Clemson, so he's going to have to sit behind Trevor Lawrence. But I can't imagine that's going to hurt him to learn from, really, debatably, the best quarterback in college football and the best college quarterback prospect to come out of high school and potentially to come out into the pros that we've seen in recent memory. So he's going to have a chance to learn, get some good playmakers developed around him, and then probably just, again, there's not going to be any break in the Clemson dominance after Trevor Lawrence is gone. And DJ Uiagalelei, who, like I said, features to be like a Cam Newton that can pass even better, that type of upside type player, he's probably going to be in the national championship in the college football playoff. You're going to be able to see this guy play a lot in prime time here very soon. So if you want to sound smart and you know, practice saying his name, it's DJ Uiagalelei, and the N is kind of like a little silent there, but you know, kind of like Tua Tagovailoa. But yeah, keep him and his name in your pocket as you get ready for the future of college football and the future of quarterback play in the NFL too. So that's it. That's our BetOnline.ag Devy Player of the Week. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline.ag.
Let's get into the meat of the episode here. We want to talk about this first trio of guys, Laviska Shenault, T. Higgins, and Justin Jefferson. So three actually very different players and kind of different paths to upside in the NFL. Just referencing the Dynasty Command Center rookie guide and how these guys came out and our balanced ranks from the team. Looking at our top 60 and our tiers here, Laviska Shenault checks in at player number 7 overall, followed by T. Higgins, and then Jefferson is just a half step below him. down at the 1.11 spot. So Travis, Laviska Shenault, kind of these three guys, maybe more of the tumultuous college path, right? So he didn't do much as a freshman, broke out in 2018 with just that insane season. He had a 46% dominator rating, 86 catches, over 1,000 yards, 6 receiving touchdowns, and then he added in 5 rushing touchdowns. I mean, this guy was kind of everywhere. It was like if somebody took Tyreek Hill and then just like made him 140% bigger. He was just everywhere. And he's really fast for his size too. And then in 2019, fell back down to earth a little bit, despite still having kind of the same quarterback connection. It just wasn't there for him as much. He still didn't manage a 28% dominator rating. So almost had kind of a back-to-back 30% breakout threshold streak there to end his career. But, you know, Colorado took a little bit of a step back and he just fell off a little bit. So where are you at on Shenault versus the team? The team has him at 7. Is he the top guy out of these three for you? And is there anything interesting you'd want to add here?
I think he could be. I think I want to see him. I want to confirm what I believe is the case or possibly the case with his athletic profile too. I think some people throughout college were a little bit worried about his top end speed, his acceleration, or whatever you want to say. But I think a lot of those people I found after really charting more of his games is that, you know, he's actually got really elite wheels. So I want to see him just kind of wow some people, get a 4.4 something even at his size in the 40, just to kind of fix his stock again, just by perception. Because I think a lot of people probably have Higgins, they probably have, you know, even Ruggs and maybe Jefferson, a few other people that, you know, we're going to talk about today above him right now by consensus. And I think right now I could wait a few picks in many cases, just because when people break down his final season at Colorado and they're like, man, he wasn't even the wide receiver one on his own team. And, you know, and you can get buried in that narrative. But I think some people will just second guess him right now. But I think he's going to wow at the NFL Combine. I think that there's going to be great things to come for him. I think the whole process is going to be good. I think he's going to end up getting some top-end draft capital, maybe back in around 1. At least, you know, top 40, 50 picks. No, like, no way he's going lower than that. So I think if he sees the athletic profile that a lot of people are going to get hyped about, and he gets in that back into day one draft capital type area, I think if I'm believing in that projection, I think he probably is atop this tier for me, especially when you look at his numbers. Any way you want to slice him up, his peak numbers, especially when you adjust his yards per team pass attempt and things like that, he's got basically like an 80th percentile yards per team pass attempt numbers going on for his big season, obviously 2 years ago. Colorado just didn't score a lot of touchdowns, so his dominator could have really been crazier had he, you know, been given even a larger piece of the pie. And if we included, you know, the rushing touchdowns he mentioned. But yeah, there's a lot to be excited about with Shenault, despite the offensive woes, and he missed some games at times. And I feel like it would have been great if he would have just had 3 consecutive seasons that we would have gotten to see him. But still, I think you can't deny what he did in 2018. I think he can do that in the pros too.
Yeah, great overview. I always like to kind of just cross-check. As you mentioned things like adjusted yards per team pass attempt, I like to kind of go back to your adjusted production index numbers, API. Travis came up with a great way. It's probably about almost a year ago now, he and Blair Andrews over at RotoViz kind of worked on this project. And Laviska Shenault has a 70th percentile API. And I've got that piece. I've read that piece so many times. I think 60th percentile is kind of that barometer we're looking at to find the cohort of guys that are generally successful in the NFL, as long as they get that day two or day one draft capital. So Shenault easily checks those boxes. Just talking about kind of the lifeblood metrics for RotoViz, you know, his breakout age is 20, so he easily eclipses our 21-year-old threshold there. Shenault is an early declare. He's a little bit older for an early declare. He is going to be an age 22 rookie, not an age 21 rookie, but really checking all of those boxes. And of the three guys that we're talking about here, definitely the thickest player of the three. still having the size. And so of these three guys, I think he could, depending on where he lands, he could be the prototypical X out of this group, but he also can be a move receiver. I think he could be used, in like the second half of Larry Fitzgerald's career type of role as well, where he gets some slot looks and does some dirty work and gets a chance to show off his yak ability. So a very, very interesting player, a versatile player. He is nursing an injury, actually kind of a rare injury, I guess. Something going on. It's a groin injury, I think, actually to his pubic bone, and he may be a little bit limited at the NFL Combine. So we might have to wait for Pro Day to get all of the stuff that we're looking for LaVisca. But he's kind of a consensus round one projection as well by the media and some of the NFL draft experts. So lots to like here. Our team's clearly very high on him. Want to cut over to T. Higgins now. T. Higgins, this is probably of these three guys, this is like the Devy blue chip guy that everyone's known about forever. He's not a late riser. And Higgins, totally different type of player. He's a more of a rangy player. I think, I kind of think stylistically a little bit, maybe more like an AJ Green. And definitely has that size, does not have the BMI of a LaVisca Chenault. That is for sure. But these Clemson wide receivers, Travis, they seem to do pretty well in the NFL. And whatever they're feeding them, whatever they're teaching them in that wide receiver room seems to be transitioning to the NFL really well. So of these three, is Higgins your number two here, or do you have Jefferson in front of him? And what else do the listeners need to know about T. Higgins?
Yeah, I think he's probably the two as of today in this crew. And really, it's kind of like he could be up there. I mean, he could be above Chenault for sure. But I think looking back at you mentioned him being a blue chip player. He was the kind of top 20, top 30 type player in the country, five star, four star, depending on what you're checking out. I mean, he coming into college, he was supposed to be the top guy, one of the best receiving threats in the country going into wide receiver university. Obviously, right at the beginning, he didn't blow up, I guess, because I mean he had a couple other guys that were NFL caliber. They're not early round guys, and so a lot of people may be concerned that he couldn't get on the field and dominate right away as a true freshman. But at that time, I mean, they still had Hunter Renfro, Deion Kane, Ray McLeod, all three guys that have made the way around some NFL rosters and just were kind of PPR underneath threats. And Higgins was, he could stretch the field and really immediately had a 20-yard per reception tick on all of his receptions as a true freshman, but he only had 17 catches. So a lot of people, cooled on him just because he didn't break out like a few other players did immediately in his class. But neither did, Ruggs or Judy and some other top players either. And they just had some other players that they had to kind of fight with and compete with for early career production. But when it was all said and done, obviously Higgins became the alpha on that offense. And really even kind of stood out when you compare him to Justin Ross in this past year as well, just being a scoring machine, 25 touchdowns in the past two seasons, just kind of blowing it up. He's got that 6'4 size. If you look at him, he's not, like you said, as thick as Chenault, but he's still an alpha X wide receiver that can line up outside and body up any corner you want to put across from him. And at the same time, he doesn't have the worst production numbers. Obviously, he was sharing the targets with some pretty good options. But he also doesn't really have an elite production profile either. It's very, very average when you look at NFL drafted wide receivers. So he doesn't fit in well that way. But I mean, draft capital cleans up a lot of our concern. I think he's locked in as well for top 40, top 50 capital moving forward. So I'm not really that concerned with Higgins not being an early contributor at the next level. What about you?
I think he can definitely contribute, primarily because, I mean, this is just a guy that has a nose for scoring touchdowns. If we look at the last two seasons, so when he's had in a major role, we're talking about the college football 2018, 2019 seasons, among power five receivers, T. Higgins is tied for first with 25 touchdowns. I mean, there's three guys. It's T. Higgins, Tyler Johnson, CeeDee Lamb. And of course, of those three guys, we only expect Lamb and Higgins to get the round one draft capital. So that's a way of looking at these guys. And if you look at the stats, even, I mean, Higgins really does compare favorably with CeeDee Lamb. And I mean, it's 118 to 127 in favor of Lamb in receptions. Lamb's got him by 300 yards and change in receiving yards, 2,400, 2,100 and change. And they both have the 25 touchdowns. And, you know, you can argue that, especially in 2019, the Higgins had, you know, better competition from teammates for those targets than Lamb. And so I think it's definitely something to keep in mind with a lot of people having CeeDee Lamb as their consensus number one. Let's not forget about kind of a similar player with an equal ceiling and T. Higgins. So just to kind of go back to our breakout age and our early declare and rookie age conversation here, really like to hit these three things on every prospect. And T. Higgins does check all the boxes. You mean age 21 rookie. We love to see that. He was an early declare and broke out at age 20. And again, just like CeeDee Lamb. I think that's really interesting. So let's kick it over to yet another different type of player. And you and I have had a couple conversations about this guy, and I'm really warming up to him more and more and more, not only because of his amazing stats, but you've got me really intrigued with the idea of him being like a mega slot in the NFL. And it's Justin Jefferson out of LSU, you know, with Ja'Marr Chase's insane breakout and Joe Burrow and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's so much to like about that Tiger offense last year. But Justin Jefferson is, I mean, he's much better than like a me too type player. I mean, he has a great profile of his own. And let's just talk about his numbers for a second before you hit, you know, some of the API and some of this context. I mean, so as a true sophomore, an age 20 sophomore, 874 yards and six touchdowns. And that's in the first year of the Joe Burrow experiment. It's before we get Brady in there as the passing game coordinator, before LSU exploded, right? And he throws up a 32% dominator rating in his sophomore season. Then in 2019, 111 receptions for 1,540 yards and 18 touchdowns. So his 24 touchdowns over the last 2 years, we've got to say those other three guys are tied for first. So he would rank fourth among all Power 5 receivers and receiving touchdowns over the last 2 years. I mean, I think that's a great stat, an important stat. What do you have on Jefferson, Travis?
Yes, I mean, I really do like him as just the perfect NFL slot wide receiver. He's tall, a little lanky. He's not like super thick like a normal like a big slot would necessarily be, but he can dominate off the line. And I don't know why, but teams more often than not would give him a clean release and just give him free reign to get wide open on a post. And I don't know what people were thinking like first half of the season, given that, I mean, the year before he was already the wide receiver one for LSU. I mean, as a sophomore, and he was surrounded by a couple other four-star, five-star type talents, Ja'Marr Chase and Terrace Marshall, and he was still dominating the targets, dominating the yards, and was leading that offense. And again, did so this year. I think just where the NFL is and where slot receivers are getting their targets in this day and age, I mean, he's just going to eat up and be a PPR nightmare immediately. Think about like a Jarvis Landry, but, bigger, faster, probably smarter, and probably perhaps even a better route runner already. Like that kind of potential being installed into, you know, a high volume offense. I mean, it's all about the opportunity at the next level, but he's got the tools, he's got the production profile, he's got all the things that you want to see, and he's produced with some of the best players in the country along his side. So I'm not concerned about Justin Jefferson hitting at the next level at all. So he's maybe even slightly safer than the other guys that we've talked about, just because of what his role projects to be in the NFL. And I believe if he gets the capital, and I do believe he will, we're going to see a player that a lot of people are excited about moving up draft boards and rookie draft boards here. And just because he wasn't the name to go to for a long time among Devy players and, you know, in NFL draft next even a year ago, doesn't mean that we can't get excited about his NFL future. But, you know, Curtis, I do want to say a word before we jump into the next crew about our sponsor, Untuck It. Because, I mean, have you ever seen an untucked, like, button down that just looked, you know, bad? I mean, why was that? I mean, it's just because they weren't meant to be worn that way. But thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button-down shirt that's actually designed to be worn untucked. And no matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50-plus combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. And really, I mean, they can fit my perfect frame perfectly, just because I need to dress up with an untucked shirt with the right look, you know, for music industry stuff all the time. But they're just great for whatever purpose you want to use them for. I mean, you can choose from styles with like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuck It, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. And their website is easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to find, you know, that craft, that smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's UNTUCKIT.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. So Curtis, who are the other two we're going to talk about before we sign off today?
All right. So we spent a little extra time on those top three guys. And I think it's because in the right situation, I actually think Chenault, Higgins, or Jefferson, it is within their range of outcomes to be the wide receiver one for fantasy purposes out of this class. Like they're tier two for us, but it's, you know, it's like tier two, or it's like tier 1A really behind, you know, those other guys. These guys have good profiles, maybe just not quite as sound or didn't have quite the breakout age of our tier one guys. Now these last two that we're going to talk about, these are speed demons. And I don't think it's appropriate to talk about them in the same tier as Chenault, Higgins, or Jefferson at this time. But if all the stars align, either one of these guys could prove to be just insane NFL weapons. So we're talking about KJ Hamler and Henry Ruggs. These guys are burners, but they have very different profiles, right? So KJ Hamler in 2018 had a 25% dominator rating. So kind of lowering that threshold down meets the criteria that many in the industry use. You know, of course we use that 30% threshold, and he did hit that in 2019 with Penn State. 32% dominator rating, had 904 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. Henry Ruggs never sniffed those types of dominator numbers. Henry Ruggs actually decreased his dominator score from his freshman to sophomore to junior year. And of course he had a different level of competition amongst his teammates, but he went from 21 to 19 to 17. Never eclipsed 750 receiving yards. I think the NFL scouts and the NFL draft nicks seem to love Ruggs. And of the two, he's projected with higher draft capital right now. But let's just do a rapid fire heads up, Travis. Hamler versus Ruggs in your own dynasty rookie draft.
Right now, and this is not going to be a very popular among most people, but right now I'm actually going to go with KJ Hamler. That would be the pick between those two. And I will say, KJ Hamler, one area of concern, I want to see him improve just from like a film analysis standpoint, as I want to see him proactively attacking the ball rather than letting it come to him. That's over the middle. That's in the red zone at times. That's the one red flag that I don't like to see in my wide receivers. But and you'll hear people parrot that. I've seen other reps analysts kind of repeat that already. But really, I think a lot of people haven't watched a bunch of Hamler just because he wasn't on Alabama and he wasn't that you know, stud from the ground up that was supposed to come in and dominate. It was supposed to come in and make it to the pros and supposed to come in and run a 4.25. Whereas I really think Hamler's like right there with him on speed. So for me, it's Hamler. But what about you, man?
Well, actually, it doesn't even really matter what I have. I do have Hamler just like one spot above him in my rankings. But if you look in the Dynasty Command Center rookie guide, across our team of five rankers. They're in the same tier, but we've got Hamler one spot above. And so, yeah, that's really interesting. We've got Hamler at our 13 overall and Ruggs at 14 overall. Of course, this is pre-combine information, but I would say that all five of us do have some of our expected combine performance baked into these rankings a little bit. And that's probably why we are a little bit higher on Hamler maybe than consensus, is we do expect him to run very well. You know, he's a dynamic athlete, can contribute in a lot of different ways. We've probably, for better or worse, we've probably seen a more representative sample of what KJ Hamler can do on the football field than what Henry Ruggs can do, just because of because of their respective roles. And so I do think Hamler's upside as a fantasy asset in the NFL is capped. Like, I don't see a potential future wide receiver one here. Whereas I do think its range of possible outcomes, while not likely, it is range of possible outcomes that Henry Ruggs has more to his game than what we've been able to see, and could, you know, potentially be, you know, Tyreek Hill 0.5. I'm not sure that he's quite on that level, but I think it's, we don't know that that's not the case. Yeah. And so with Hamler, I really like the idea of him as a really effective and dynamic and electric wide receiver two on a team. Whereas Ruggs, I'm not quite sure if he's a wide receiver three that's taken the top off, or could he even be a team's wide receiver one someday. And so I think that's just what you're balancing. I like leaning towards Hamler because he hits some of those metrics that are so important to us and have been predictive over the course of time. But let's see what happens with the draft capital, and we'll come back to these guys certainly and touch on them again after the combine. So yeah. Travis, looking forward to our next episode or set of episodes. Who are some of the wide receivers we're going to hit in the next week or two?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to look at guys like, I mean, ever since the Senior Bowl, KJ Hill has just been a hype machine. So a lot of people want to hear
his name.
Yeah, I can't even do that. can't do it, man. But Gabriel Davis, UCF, Michael Pittman Jr., USC, Brian Edwards, obviously, there's been a lot of hype about him here recently. I think he could creep into the tiers that we've talked about today. Tyler Johnson, there's several other names, like Isaiah Hodgins. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty on a lot of these guys, these productive guys, these bigger guys, these slot guys. I mean, we're just going to cover it from all the different angles that we can. Can't wait to share that. Really can't wait for the NFL Combine so we can just have a few more data points on all these players to help you kind of tackle your rookie drafts and dynasty leagues. But until next time, keep living that dynasty life.